peace to the one them call Ayatollah. Ayatollah, how you doing, brother?
Hi, everything is good. Who is Grim?
This is Ben Grim.
Hi, Ben Grim. What up? What up?
Boss. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I'm on the line with my man, MC Pros.
What's up, my man? Respect.
Peace. Yeah, man. I'd like to get down into the radio station and actually do the interview live. You know, that'd be real dope.
That's
but
the move.
Until then, we just have to do it like this.
Right, for now we just had to do it like this, but you know we definitely can get that going in the future, man. We got, you know, we got a beat set going on right coming up, so you know the type of thing is right up our alley, man. We could get it in.
Right. No doubt.
You know, we definitely bigged you up, man. We just played that Breaking Bad about 10 minutes ago. Beautiful beat. I mean, you really doing it. It seems like you ain't lost a step in all the years you've been doing your thing, man. That's love. I love it. To the roots, I love it.
Yeah. I can barely hear you guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's the
a little bit.
hey, Tola, how did we come across, man? How did we cross paths, man?
Wow. I don't know, man. I guess, you know, the Most High works in mysterious ways, man. You know, we just, you know, I guess, you know, that entity knew me when I did music, you know, and we had a real passion for it and kind of just put us in the same arena, and, you know, we just kind of just, you know, gel together and, you know, kind of just broke bread, you know?
Yes.
Broke bread like that.
What, tell the people out there, man, what's your history, man?
My musical history, it started like, man, when I was like a teenager. I grew up in Queens, New York, South Ozone Park to be exact, Rockaway Boulevard.
Wow.
And that was like in the 80s, the early 80s, and you know, hearing all these amazing records as a kid, you know, playing outside, you know, cars zooming by, people walking down the street with boom boxes, and you just hear all this amazing hip hop, all different kinds of hip hops, and you know, Run DMCs and Houdinis and the Fat Boys and you know, all these Curtis Blows and all these different Sugar Hill Gangs, and it's like, you know,
I just
caught the music virus then as a young kid growing up in Queens, you know.
Yes.
Kinda got into the DJing thing, and, you know, did that for quite a while. You know, the breakdance, you know, popping, locking.
Right.
He was a graffiti artist too, right?
Yeah, the graffiti, exactly.
Okay.
The graffiti, got into that, you know, and you know, I kinda just got into all the entire spectrum of hip hop, all the different, you know, genres like that make up the whole hip hop spectrum. I kind of touched on all of them, you know.
I could tell.
The last one was the production, you know.
That's amazing. When you came across your first drum machine, how was that? How did that come about?
How did I come across my first drum machine? Wow. It's funny. My first official drum machine, because I had like before I had an actual drum machine, I had like a sampler, like a rack mount sampler that sampled for like 7.6 seconds, and it was just,
yeah,
you know, it was like a rack
that
mount,
old school
it
joint,
was like a
yeah.
Digitech or something like that, and I would like overloop, I would sample one time, and then it had a overloop of capability where you can just overloop and overloop and overloop, so I'd make beats like that,
yeah.
But, after a while, it kind of just...
You reached the limits of the technology
know, get more technical with it, and
yeah.
I needed a drum machine, and I couldn't afford one at the time, so an artist who I was who I was speaking to building with at the time, his name was, y'all guys might know him as Intelligent Hoodlum.
Wow.
But now he's Tragedy Gaddafi. At the time, you know, Tragedy had he was like doing, you know, everybody knew who he was. He was doing records, going on tour, big, you know, he was one of the dopest MCs in Queensbridge at the time. And he was like, he wanted me to DJ for him and do shows. So I started doing shows for him, DJing, and, you know, we were going all over, traveling everywhere. And, it was a crazy experience for me because I wanted to do this like this DJ that nobody knew of, and now I'm on, like, going on tour with this guy, meeting other artists and stuff, and, you know, it was really cool. But to get the Beat Machine, I had a, he reached out to Marley Marl. You know, I did reach out to Marley Marl for my first Beat Machine, and, you know, he came over to my crib one day with this big paper bag, and I was like, what's inside? You know, he came up in my room, and came up in my room with the paper bag, and was like, yo, here you go.
What?
I opened it up, and I'm just like, I see this Akai machine staring at me. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to turn it on. I didn't know what the buttons were.
What was it? What kind of what machine
joint.
Was it?
The Lin joint.
The Lin joint?
Yeah, the Roger Lin, the MPC 62. The funny thing is, before I got that one,
that's hot.
He actually gave me the EMU SP12. Before I got the MPC 60, he gave me the EMU SP12, which is the same.
Super classic.
He gave me the machine. He basically gave me the machine that he used to make the bridge for MPC.
Oh, man, that's sick. Let me tell you something, Brother Tola. LA is a beat making mecca right now. This city right now is all about making innovative beats. Since Jay Dilla touched down and, you know, touched down and messed with the likes of Madlib and Shafiq Hussein, it really affected. Mm-hmm. The beat scene. We got one of the incredible cats from my crew right now, Ravage One. He's one of those beat makers, man. Yeah. And I just wanted to know, could you just tell us something? Because we can't be long, man, and we're going to extend this to another time. OG, could you tell us what's your philosophy of music? I don't want to say production, because when I think it was beyond production, man, it's just music. What's your philosophy of music? We're going to leave it with that.
What's my philosophy of music? It's hard to really call, man. I kind of deal with I kind of make sure I deal with precision in music. Like, you know, I'm very precise with the music that I try to create. I'm very precise with it. It's precision, but at the same time, it's very, how should I say? It's very avant-garde. It's very precise, but at the same time, it's very avant-garde and obscure, and you know, it's new, but at the same time, it's old. So it's really, you don't know, really no place to put it. It's kind of like really just, so it's very hard to explain it.
That was enough right there, man. I'm gonna say this to you, man. I'm honored for you to even be looking my way, man. For whatever, man. You know, it could have been so much appreciated.
You're nice on that mic, man. You're nice on the beat too.
Thank you, sir, man. I can't wait to bring you down here for the next beat swap meet. We're going to get you down here to rock, man. It's already locked in. Robbie Upmost already gave me the green light. You down here, man. We're going to fly you out. We're going to make it happen. But we're going to do this part two of this interview another time, man. Maybe next week.
Look forward to that.
Yep, no doubt. All
right. Maybe we could do it in the spot.
On the air for a brief minute. You guys did. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, man. Much love.
We'll touch bases soon, Grim. You know?
All right, fam. And thanks for the new batch of beats, man. We're gonna do it with that house of trap doors. We're gonna smash him, bro.
We're gonna do what we do.
All right. Unseen Legion Radio, y'all. That was the legendary Ayatollah. If you don't know who it is, you probably shouldn't be listening to this show.